Welcome to PRSA, the podcast of the Houston chapter of the Public Relations Society of America. On PRSA, we spotlight our talented members and get to know each other a little better. If you are a PRSA Houston chapter member and don't get a chance to network as much as you'd like or are unable to attend our in-person events, here's your chance to connect with your fellow members. Hello and welcome to PRSA. This is the podcast for the Houston chapter of Public Relations Society of America. And I'm your host, Veronica Sofer. I have the distinct pleasure of introducing you to members from all over our chapter so that when we connect in person, you know exactly who you're talking to and you can easily connect and even make sure that your social media is connected so you've got a network of professionals you can connect to. So super excited about my guest today. A little bit of housekeeping. If you are listening on the podcast, make sure you hit subscribe. We don't want you to miss any episodes of PRSA. And if you are watching on Facebook or YouTube, drop us some comments so that we can connect. With that, I'm going to bring up my guest here. We've got Jared Breaux. Welcome to PRSA.
Great. Good to be with you, Veronica.
I am so excited about today's conversation. You are the crisis communication guru. So tell us a little bit about how you got started and how you got to where you are today.
Yeah. So like a lot of members in PRSA, I started out as a reporter, you know, 15 years as a TV reporter. There are all the awards and stuff behind me. I was an award-winning reporter. And I got burned out like everybody else and went into PR. But the thing that drove me was crisis communications. Because when I was a reporter, I was always baffled about why a chemical plant would blow up and I show up at the scene and there's no one there to talk to me. And then they get bent out of shape that after 2 hours, I go knock on the door of a house trailer and I interview whoever comes out and I say, what happened? And one of the stories I often share with people is it was one of those people in the house trailer who had the greatest influence on me because he walked out. I said, what happened? And he said, it blowed up real good. And I put him on TV that night, actually on the new news, saying it blowed up real good. And only after he got on the new news did the PR person finally come out and yell at me and say, hey, Jared Breaux, why do you always interview people who live in trailers who have no teeth? And I went, well, it's a disparaging remark about the guy. He has teeth. But nonetheless, he would talk to me and you wouldn't. So my whole career since leaving TV has been centered on crisis communications, how to get information out to your audiences faster than ever before.
Mm-hmm. And that's challenging, right? Because I think the way we communicated 10 or 15 years ago is completely different than how we communicate today. So how has social media and technology changed that need for speed, if you will?
Yeah. So before social media, you had a golden hour. You roughly had 1 hour to get information out. The Bubba story I told you happened because I drove 30 minutes from the TV station to get to the burning chemical plant. And then it took me 30 minutes to get a satellite signal up. And then I did my live shot. So it started at 9 a.m. By 10 a.m, I was doing a live shot. You had an hour to get your information out to me. Social media, if you use the golden 1 hour rule, you're 59 minutes behind social media. So the era of PR people trying to write beautiful prose and spending 30 minutes on a statement and then 30 minutes on a rewrite after a 1 hour review or whatever. Too many companies wait 2.5 to 3.5 hours to put a statement out. That's unacceptable. Mm-hmm. There are faster ways. I invented faster ways going back, somewhere around 2004 using pre-written news releases for 125 different topics. I go that thorough. When I write a crisis communications plan, the plan tells you what to do, who does it, when they do it, how fast they do it, and how they do it. So I started writing very precise crisis communications plans, but my secret sauce was having a library of 100 to 125 pre-written news releases that were multiple choice, fill in the blank. If you've got a pen, it works with a pen. If you're on a Word document, you fix it on a Word document. So that was generation, 1.0. Mm-hmm. And then 2 years ago, I rolled out a software platform that automates everything I'd been doing for the previous 25 years. I can now write a news release in 60 seconds. If you need a holding statement, it's ready in 30 to 60 seconds. If you have a medium-sized breaking news crisis event, you can do it in 5 minutes. If you have a mass casualty, I can produce a news release now in 10 minutes or less.
Yeah, that's phenomenal, because I think that for PR folks, especially for those of us who are on the front line and we've got media knocking on the door, time is not our friend.
Yeah.
And that's really, really challenging.
PR Say is brought to you by Veronica V. Soper Public Relations. We design and execute personal visibility strategies for businesses, organizations, authors, and entrepreneurs who are ready to up-level their brands and leverage earned media to legitimize their place in the niche. Visit us at veronicavsoper.com or connect on LinkedIn.
So what are some of the things that folks need to be thinking about ahead of needing one of these tools that you've been able to create? What steps do they need to take today to be ready?
So everybody needs to have a crisis communications plan. I always use the rule, the more specific, the more terrific. Again, that idea of, think of it like a good recipe versus a bad recipe. Mm-hmm. So if you use your grandmother's recipe, your grandmother made the best whatever it is that you're trying to cook, but she'll say, add some salt or add salt and pepper to taste. Well, that's not specific. My mom had a great lemon icebox pie recipe that said use two lemons. And one day I told my wife, I said, have you ever measured the juice from the two lemons? Because this one doesn't taste lemony enough. Your last one tasted better. So in a crisis communications plan, I go to the specifics of who does what, how fast do they do it, and I write it in the chronological order. And that chronological order is gather information, confirm information, send that information to the right decision makers, and produce your first critical statement or your holding statement. And in most plans, it was to do that within an hour. Those were four chapters of a 50-page crisis communications plan. With my software, I've automated four chapters. You log into the software, you go to a pull-down tab, it says tornado or chemical spill or workplace injury, whatever it happens to be. You answer specific questions, you hit a button that alerts the team, so there's no calling tree, everybody has situational awareness, and by that time, it has already written the statement. And what I try to share with PR people these days is think in terms of factual, fast, no fluff. Your English teacher and your PR teacher and your journalism instructor, they all taught you how to write beautiful prose. When that gets to the newsroom, the news reporter takes it and they go, bullshit, bullshit, bullshit. Third paragraph down, they circle it and go, good, you buried the lead. And they throw away all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you think of the reporter's inverted pyramid, who, what, when, where, why, and how, and you just feed them that in individual sentences, the event happened at 10:30. We can confirm there are no fatalities. We can confirm there is one injury. We can confirm everyone is accounted for. Break every thought into a single sentence and the comprehension by the reporter goes up. You should send it to your employees. Comprehension to the employees goes up. If you're going to use social media, and I hate social media, especially in a crisis, but if you're going to use it, publish those individual numbered or bullet pointed sentences to your website and put up a boring post on social media that points to the website and take them off of social media where they can't comment on your crisis. There are too many complicated things that a PR person has to do during a crisis. And it's time for us in PR to say, I can write something beautiful on another day, but not on the day of breaking news. On the day of breaking news, I need bullet points. I need numbered sentences. I need short staccato sentences. One thought. Every time you add a comma, you lose comprehension from your audiences. And somebody with a red pen, who's probably an accountant and not a writer, is going to mark up your draft and say, well, I wouldn't say that. I would say this. Commas invite rewrites. And when news is breaking and you need a statement out fast, you don't have time for rewrites.
Right. Right. And, you know, that's really important, too, because I think at the scene of a crisis, most of us are trained, whether we're getting head-on questions by reporters or we're trying to issue a statement, to speak in sound bites. So not only do I try to write that way if there's a crisis, but I try to speak that way so that I know that whatever's being cut up in the newsroom, or even nowadays more often, they're going straight live on Facebook or whatever their platform is, that my message for my organization is going out in a very clear and concise manner. So how do people speak in sound bites? That I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
So let's put that aside and let me show you something new that I did. That so the first thing to do is when you're writing these statements, all right, so your soundbite, to get specifically to your soundbite, and then I'm going to teach you a trick that will change everything for the rest of your interview life. So the first thing in the soundbite is your opening sentence has to put context of who your organization is, and it has to tell us what you do, and then it has to tell us what your goals are, and then what your hiccup is. So for example, I might say at ABC Chemical, our goal is to da, da, da. However, there are times when things go wrong, and sadly, this is one of those occasions. This is what we can confirm. And then I'll go through that bullet pointed list of what happened after adding context. If it's a mass casualty, then the preamble sentence is going to have a pre-written sentence built into it that says, our hearts are heavy with the news that we have to share today. As soon as I say, our hearts are heavy with the news that we have to share with you today, I've made it the pull quote in print.
Yep.
I have made it the tease and the cold open for the TV station. So after all the helicopters in Houston fly around, they're going to hit that sound bite. But I've also changed the behavior of reporters in that news conference scene. Everybody gets goosebumps and they get quiet and they listen. But here's the big secret that I do now. Read scripts. Quit playing ping pong and taking questions. We have a fire and explosion now, take your questions. That's insanity. What I now do is, because the software produces a script, and the script, the news release, the employee statement, it's all one in the same, but it's written like a TV script. And that way I can say to the reporters, I know you all want to ask me questions. If you'll bear with me, I prepared a 90-second statement. I'm going to read the statement, and then afterwards you can ask me questions. Here's the secret sauce. When I read the script, it proactively answers the questions before they're asked.
Love it.
So when it comes time for questions, there are 90% fewer questions, and all of the questions go into the bucket of speculation.
Yes.
How did it happen? Why did it happen? But the script already has sentences that say, as to the cause, it would be inappropriate for us to speculate. We will wait for an investigation to tell us what happened, how it happened, how we keep it from happening again. And every time I get a probing question, I now in media training teach retreat and repeat. Retreat back to sentence number 8. It says it would be inappropriate to speculate. If you've used it 3 times, that's your cue to say, I wish I had more information to share, but I don't. I'm going to go back to the command center, get more information, and I'll be back in an hour. So I'm a manipulator and I'm a control freak, and I'm always trying to beat the system.
Yeah.
And for me and the people I'm working with, it's beating the system. I mean, if you look at Houston, you guys have big fires and explosions all the time. There was one of them, and I watch them all on the news, but there was one where it was like 24 hours before the spokesperson came out.
I'm like,
that's insane. It was a major corporation with 100-person PR staff, and it took them 24 hours to get a human from some corporate office out of town, when in reality, they could have gone into an app, answered 30 questions, produced a statement, and walked out and read it in 5 to 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so true. Goodness gracious. Jared, phenomenal. Just so you know, this is, you're speaking my love language, when we can quickly shape messages that are going to answer and do a lot of preemptive work with a reporter. That's right up my alley. How can people connect with you, Jared? What's the best way for folks to learn more about you and get connected?
Yeah, I am all over social media. So LinkedIn is where I hang out a lot. So Jared, G-E-R-A-R-D, bro, B-R-A-U, do it, LinkedIn, G-Bro on Twitter, or at Situation Hub on Twitter. YouTube, I've got a channel called The Brocast, where it's like tons of content going back decades. If you go to braudcommunications.com, that blog has decades of anything you want. And if you're into master classes, go to situationhub.com and there's a whole slate of master classes. Anything I know in PR, I just give away. PR people are my tribe, and it's, people gave me what I needed to know throughout my career. And as I just keep going in my career, everything's on social, everything's on YouTube, everything's on the blogs, everything's out there for free. So hopefully we'll stay in touch.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I will be checking out some of those masterclasses because I am a masterclass junkie. So it was so nice to meet you and connect on PRSA today. Thanks, Jerry. Good.
See you later. Bye.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us on this episode of PRSA. Please connect with Jared. All of his contact information is in the show notes. If you are listening on the podcast, make sure you hit subscribe. We don't want you to miss any episodes of PRSA. And if you are watching on Facebook or YouTube, drop us some comments so Jared and I can go back and connect. We'll be seeing you soon. Thanks for joining us.